You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Cop and Fracas, powered by Chipsland Media Group. I'm your host, Chris, and joining me this week to talk about all things in the world of LFC, even though there's been no football, an admirable effort from the boys, as always, jumping on. I've got Peter, I've got Mark, and I've got Mush. Gents, how are we doing in a barren club football week and an absolutely horrific international football fortnight?
I'm good, man. Do you know what? It's nice. It's nice to actually... You know, when you go through the various stages of like a post-breakup, like first you have, you're missing them, then you're hating them. Then now you realize, you know what? I'm ready to get back out into the open world, man. That's how I feel about Liverpool. I'm ready to get back out in the jungle, man. Let's get a mix in, man. I'm ready.
Mushy's on his live, laugh, love there. I kind of like that. I respect it.
You're killing me.
Peter?
Yeah, I'm all good, man. I needed this break, like Mush said. I needed to not see them, man, for a while. Still, I needed this break. But now, I'm interested to see what they got cooking up. Like, surely they must have like a bit more cooking up for us. Obviously, a lot of guys got arrested. We'll talk about that, and people come back from their breaks earlier. So yeah, let's see what the boys got cooking up. But it's also nice to pod with Mush. I ain't pod with Mush in a while, so let's see what he's got cooking up as well.
I'm back, man. Let's go.
Listen, mate, it was nice podding with Mush last week.
That was it. You know what? I was so excited about podding today just for how fun the OB was. You guys were missed heavily.
I need to listen to that. That patron content. That's super. That's grown folks patron content.
It's the content still.
Yeah, man, we did that the weekend that Dr. Umar was in London as well, so it could have been a bit spooky for us still. Mark, brother, how are you, man?
I'm good, man. I guess I echo everything the guys have been saying, innit? Like, I've needed a break from Liverpool. And I've just wanted to see how we bubble over, like, throughout this little period, innit? In terms of, like, what happens going forward, I want to see some fire from a couple of players, and we'll get into that during the pod, innit? Like, a couple of players need to come back with a fresh, renewed lease on life in it. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where, you know, when you have like a little bit of a shit week, you think, I need to like kind of realign my priorities here. I need to focus on what I need to do to improve myself. Those self-reflection weeks when you kind of like life hits you a little bit too hard in certain aspects. But yeah, we'll be talking about those certain individuals. But as we alluded to earlier on, the Cop and Fracas Patreon page is where it's at. All for the low price of £3, or if you're an American subscriber, 25 cents. So you're getting a really good deal at the moment. As we alluded to earlier, we brought back from the dead in Dr. Christian's Frankenstein lab of magical mysteries, AOB, myself, Mush, Julian and Fahir were on there. We talked about literally anything and everything bar Liverpool Football Club, and it was an absolute riot. So do check that out on the Patreon page. And the latest installment of the Bantics Pod featuring Peter and Mike and special guest Mark, which was a really good listen. I kind of caught a little bit of that this morning as I was on my commute to work. Some really good in-depth analysis from the boys there. And there's going to be a lot more coming through as the games get thick and fast in October. I think we've got some stupid amount of games that are playing. I think it's around about 10 games or something that's coming up. So there's going to be an absolute plethora of content, free pods a week bonus alongside your main. So it is the perfect time to subscribe to the Coffin Crackers Patreon page. Again, from £3 a month. And you can subscribe today at www.patreon.com/copandfrackers. Let's get stuck into this week's pod. And yesterday was a weird one. I say yesterday. Well, when this goes out, it would have been Monday. For Mr. Trent Alexander-Arnold, I think his whole England tenure, especially under Gareth Southgate, has just been odd in general. For me, Trent for me, he's quite clearly the best right back in the world. I think everyone in this group agrees with that sentiment to a point. And it just seems really odd that Southgate can't find the way to utilise one of his more creative players. And again, you can possibly label the same thing to Jack Grealish as well. As we've seen in the past, he has no idea how to use him. In a way, James Maddison to an extent as well. But I want to ask you guys kind of what your thoughts were on this whole Trent situation. We know what the agendas are going to be like. It's like, Trent's not good enough to not play the system. He can't play the three in the back. So, I just wanted to kind of get you guys' lowdown on it, really. We've got three really good tactical and astute minds in the booth this week. So, let's get stuck into it, man. And Mush, as the returning elder statesman, I want to get you on first.
Oh, God, what? James Milner of the pod, yeah?
Ellis.
That's Ellis. That's not you.
I'm Hendo. We're only actually, I think we're only 2 weeks apart in age as well. So I'm literally Hendo in that sense. But I've managed to collect a lot of thoughts after the whole reacting to the news thing. Firstly, I'm kind of disgusted at the same pundits, journalists, fan accounts who rip Trent to shreds every week, every 3 days, now have decided it's a travesty that he shouldn't be playing for England. Yeah. So
the only one who's been consistent with it is Henry Winter, and that's I'm pretty sure he's got like some form of like general hatred against like Gareth Southgate, which fair enough.
To be fair, the only two who are consistent, you're right, Henry Winter and Gary Lineker always. So I'd say that's the first thing, right? It's very rich coming from a lot of people. But the next bit is I think people have their Liverpool hats on and they're not thinking from a player perspective, because everyone who's kind of in the Liverpool fan base, even us as fans, we've all kind of taken this approach of like, oh, this is great because Trent will get lots of rest and he'll be nice and fresh for Liverpool and he'll know where his kind of commitments stand. But I think the other thing that people are kind of ignoring is, guys, if you were a footballer, playing at the World Cup is one of the most exciting pinnacles of your career. It's like one of the things you look forward to most. How would that not affect your, not confidence in the sense of you're thinking you're a bad player, but that feeling of missing out on the 2-3 tournaments you're going to be able to play as a top level professional. And I think Trent feels that a lot. Like, I don't know who it was. One of the journalists was talking a lot about Trent's a really smart guy. Like, even when you watch, it's a weird reference, but when you watch the player stuff, when they're doing stuff with them, Curtis Jones, for example, a lot of them talk about how smart Trent is and he's always looking to learn and educate himself. So someone who believes in being global and broad-minded, missing out on the most global tournament and most recognised tournament in the world is going to hit him hard, man. So I think everyone's looking at too much from a selfish perspective of Liverpool, and everyone's ignoring the fact of a top player is missing out on playing the best tournament you can play in football in terms of significance.
Interesting stat I've literally just come across now. Trent Alexander-Arnold's completed 90 minutes or 120 if the game went to extra time in more major finals for Liverpool 6 than he has competitive matches for England 5.
It's crazy.
That's it's mad. Crazy.
I agree with Mosh. I think so, like, it's more of like, I'm kind of conflicted in certain this kind of instance where, like, I feel as a player and as a human and on a human level, obviously I feel sorry for him, because, like, of course you'd want to play at that World Cup. You know what I'm saying? Like Mosh said, you only get 2 or 3 chances to play at such a prestige tournament. So I feel sorry for him in that sense. But obviously, like a selfish point of view, when he's been dropped from England before, he's come back like with, you know what I'm saying, with a lot of intensity. He's come back willing to do better, and we've seen him before, and he's, I'm saying, proved himself. You know what I'm saying? He comes back like Batman, like I am vengeance. You know what I'm saying? But
that's a good reference.
I think it's more, what, from my point of view, I think it's more, it's more damning on Southgate personally, because like this isn't a year into Southgate's tenure. You know what I'm saying? If this is what 2018, Trent just came on the scene and it's like, oh my God, this new wonder kid, how do I use him? I'm not too sure. Then, you know what I'm saying? Cool. But he's had Trent his whole time as an England coach. You know what I'm saying? So his whole 5 or 6 years. And even, okay, so after the last Euros, we done well. He took Trent, but he didn't really, well, no, Trent got injured. So he couldn't go, but he did choose him. And then since the Euros to this World Cup now, he's had plenty of time or plenty of fixtures to try and maybe figure out a system to kind of use him, but he hasn't. You know what I'm saying? He hasn't. So it's my thing where it's like, and I do kind of feel sorry for Southgate in the sense that there isn't many progressive international managers, and international football isn't like club football. You don't get a lot of time with teams to implement a system and tactics. You know what I'm saying? You have to kind of choose the players you kind of trust. But Nations Leagues, games and friendlies are for this purpose, so that you can find a system that you can settle on and that you can find those players that you trust. But we shouldn't still be in a situation where we're going to a World Cup and it's like, oh my God, who should I choose? Okay, I'll just take Trippier because I know him or whatever. Or I'll just take... Like, you're not putting yourself in the best situations. You're not playing... You're not picking the most talented players like Maddison, like Grealish, like Foden, like Bellingham. Like, he doesn't even know how to use them properly. You know what I'm saying? You're still using Bellingham in a protective double pivot in front of a back three. It's not his best position. Foden as well.
Yeah.
It looks like he looks a bit uncomfortable in that system. It was arguably so many players that look kind of uncomfortable in that system, and he doesn't have to use them. So it's more of a case of, it's not that Trent is a bad player. It's more of a case that I don't know how to use Trent, so there's no point in me taking him. I'd rather just kind of take another player in another position that will help me, because no point in him sitting on the bench, which is what I think Southgate is doing. But bro, you've had a long time to sort this out now. Like, it's getting beyond the joke. You've had 5 years, ample years to kind of work out how to use such a great talent like Trent.
That's the big thing as well. It speaks more to Southgate's deficiencies as a manager than Trent's ability as an actual player. I've never understood this whole what an actual international football manager does. So you see Southgate every week in, week out at all these different Premier League games assessing his players. What are you doing tactically behind the scenes in that time? Because it's not like you've got a game a week. You've got so much time to plan for this stuff. You've got more time to do analysis, to do the video work, to put all these little pieces together to kind of, you know, solve your puzzle for these big international tournaments, and to spring a surprise or two. You know what I mean? I'm not talking like, you know, some of the clown antics. I say clown antics when, you know, like Louis van Gaal was changing the goalkeepers before penalty shootouts and stuff like that. That's just gamesmanship at the end of the day. But there's little things where you could do to, you know, okay, we're going to change the formation a little bit. We're going to tweak and change things so I can put player X and Y in, and they could cause more of a dangerous impact. What the hell are you doing? Like, bro, are you just like, I'm on Pornhub like all the time, Southgate? Like, what's going on, man?
Chris, one thing on top of that as well, bro, you're completely right. So you're managing, and all you're doing is observing players.
Literally.
You don't even train them. You have no time with them. You see them once every 10 weeks, a few days, right? So you can't even use the excuse of on the training pitch or in other games, X has been a better player, because you don't train them. So all you can do is apply how good they've been for their clubs. So fair enough, even if we want to be extreme and say 2022 has been a bad year for Trent, so the club form doesn't warrant it. Like Pete is saying, the last 4 years where Trent is at the top of the assist table, chances created table, most passes into the final third table, Trent is topping everything. You just need to plug and play him because you don't train anyone anyway.
This is the thing. It's no different. I mean, we do it on a week-to-week basis when we watch all these different teams from across Europe play and think, he's good. Let's think about how he could fit in the Liverpool system.
Translate, right?
Like, come on, what are you doing?
With the players at Southgate's disposal, I think there's so many ways you can work around having Trent in the side at a right wing back slot, because I think before the Germany game, they hadn't scored a goal in open play. So I think it was one goal in open play in like 6 hours or something like that. So why don't you include your most creative player? I think you could have a Reece James in the right centre back slot and.
Oh, you forget, Mark. Trent's not a creative player.
He's a creator, if you want to be pedantic. No, he's a creative player to me anyway. But I think you can have Reece James at a right centre-back slot, and I think you can have Trent just outside him, and that would work very well in tandem. Like, Reece James understands very well how to play at right wing-back, and he would be able to cover for Trent's deficiencies defensively. And Yak had a very, very good thread about defensive work and how all of them defend slightly differently. I feel like he's completely right in saying that Trent is the best interceptor out of all of them, but he lacks the attributes to be good defensively because he's quite slow, he's quite gangly, he's not the strongest, as opposed to James, who's really strong and quick and is very physical in a tackle, and Walker, who has amazing recovery pace. But when you have players of those ilks that have attributes that complement each other, you can add two of those together. You can have a Reece James at right centre-back or Walker at right centre-back, and then a Trent just outside that would progress play and allow you to break forward. Because a lot of times when I see England, they look very tepid on the ball. And having someone like Trent that's able to play the type of passes he does, be as progressive as he is, would help them immensely. Funny you mentioned the Van Gaal thing, by the way. I got slaughtered for that. I cussed Van Gaal and I said he's not Man United's saviour, and I had like South African Twitter, Indian Twitter all on, man. And maybe like 20k mentions. It's on, man.
But do you know what, guys? Like, Marco, I completely agree about the profiles thing, but this also goes back to what Chris is saying, right? You don't train these players, bro. Just ask Rice. Like, so you want to maximise the best possible players. I would say best, meaning world level, I'd say Sterling, Kane and Trent would be like world level, right? So all you do is ask Rice to be Fabinho, slot in. All you do is ask Saka to play Salah's role and drag that man inside. And then you just make the room for Trent to do the one thing he does amazingly. Like, I don't know, man. Southgate just... it baffles me because he's just alienated everyone now. Like, Brexit Twitter's abandoned him. Everyone's abandoned him, bro. I was looking at the content today. Southgate out is in every demographic out there in the UK.
But do you know what's funny? Like, I remember at the 2018 World Cup, I think Trent played in like was it like the third place game or something like that? I can't remember. It was like a very like not meaningful game in that World Cup or whatever, and then like he played well or whatever, but he didn't really play in the tournament as such. And it was like, okay, after 2018 World Cup, we're kind of it looks like they're gonna kind of integrate him and make him part of the system. 2022 happens and we're actually still at the same crossroads with him. Are we taking him? Are we not taking him? How are we gonna use him? This, that, like. But it's not just Trent as well. Like, fair enough, if you wanted to kind of go with James, cool. You think James is the better player? Okay, cool. But he doesn't even, like, James doesn't even look that good in England shirt either. James is not replicating the same form that he has for Chelsea for England. He's not, you know what I'm saying? He might look a bit better than Trent, cool, but he's not replicating the same form. So it's a fair, like, select few players that kind of look good in this Southgate system, which is crazy to me. And he's insisting with this kind of 3-5 at the back kind of system, but so few players look good in this system. So why are you insisting on it? It's
typical British stubbornness in a way. Because, like, this grit and grind style that we've done to get us to this point can keep us going forward. There's no need to adapt. There's no need to change things. You know what I mean? Yeah. We keep the staples and we keep it moving. But
Tomori is not playing. He's behind relegation battlers and guys not making match day squads. Fikayo Tomori, who is Serie A league winner, playing in the Champions League, literally him and Kalulu are like the best two defenders in Serie A.
Question, Mush. From the other point of view, what would you say to the people that are saying, okay, but Southgate got us to a semi-final in 2018 and a final in last year? Like, so he's proving what he's doing by picking Maguire and all this stuff. What would you say to them? Because obviously there will be some people that are saying he's got us a semi-final and a final. You know what I'm saying? That's progress.
I'll say look at Klopp. I'll say look at the place that Liverpool are at the moment, where we do need a change and we don't need to be playing Henderson and Milner, but he's still insistent on that. Marco, like, there's definitely ways you can change a squad and improve a squad over time. You have to be progressive throughout the years. And what you've done in year one might not work the same way in year five. You have different players. You have different teams playing against you. Like, teams have kind of sussed you out now. You need to kind of implement a new style. So that's what I would say personally, innit? Mm. Sorry to jump in there, Mush.
No. That's fine, bro. What I would also add, I mean, to be honest, this is just an enhancement of Marco's example. I'd use Germany. You got to the 2014 World Cup final. Next thing you know, 2018, you couldn't make it out of the group.
Yeah.
Six group of players. So just because one group of players have delivered, they get older, systems get worked out, form changes, confidence changes. You think any human being, even on a personal level, you think any human being you meet is the same person you meet in 4 years' time? Of course not, man. Like, it's... No, I don't blame Southgate for how he was in 2018.
Mm.
But to have what he has now and just trying to ram it into this template he's got is just the laziest, most... You know, it's just so inflexible, man. It's really poor. But again, this is I know this argument's about Trent, but you boys we all did it in the group. We're like, good, Trent gets a rest all summer, blah, blah. Trent's not going to be resting summer, bro. Trent's going to be crying into his duvet because he's not going to be at or in November because he's going to be upset that he's not at the World Cup. But he doesn't want to rest.
The more frustrating thing is, he's probably more likely going to go and he's probably going to play 15 minutes.
Yeah. In group game three. That's what it's going to be.
That's what's going to annoy me.
He's going to play against. He's going to play against Iran. Launch off a rocket. He's going to start a world war. Which, like, oh, for fuck's sake! Yeah. I always like to. I generally like to think there's also an AC Milan pod to have the exact same discussion we're having about Trent, but for Tomori. In a multiverse, there's definitely like a, you know, heavy. Oh, what's going on?
Kind of conversation. Because at least
yeah, they should be
good players in his position. Flipping Tomori struggling with crap players. So yeah, man.
You are correct, though. Like in what we said before, there are certain players that obviously do fit this system for what Southgate wants. You know, you look at Trippier. Fair enough. Trippier is the one player I look at and go, that's completely fair.
I think Sterling as well. I think it suits Sterling individualism. Like, it's not, obviously the attack hasn't got any patterns of play. So I'm saying the attack literally has no patterns of play. So.
Yeah, it's just there, like I could just float around and kind of like pick a position wherever I want.
That's great. Sterling to a T. So yeah,
it's 2014.
It's kind of like Chelsea as well, isn't it? In terms of the patterns of attack.
I got that false nine responsibility, but with no false nine responsibility. This is great.
Standing man up, accelerating pass man.
Brendan, tip of diamond Sterling, man. We love to see it.
Hey, man, love to
see
it.
We cannot replace. Cannot.
But yeah, it is interesting. And I mean, I think it's more of like an England question to an extent, but a Trent question. I mean, we cannot deny the quality of Trent. It's absolutely everywhere. I actually generally think it's sorted that some people are doing this. You kind of like, using this as an opportunity to kind of doubt Trent's quality, especially the creative stuff. The creative one that I saw this weekend, which was absolutely absurd, because there was literally a David Beckham comp that came up like an hour later from the official Real Madrid comp. And I was like, I've seen this before somewhere. You know what I mean? I've seen this exact style of play from someone who's doing it from right back. So what are we doing at this point? It's kind of like what Mike alluded to earlier. It's like, it's weird point scoring for the sake of point scoring. But yeah. It's another one. Any last words on the Trent conversation before we move on?
No, not particularly. I just hope that obviously he's able to kind of just come back with a vengeance and obviously hopefully replicate his form that he has done for us in previous years. That's it, really.
Best way to get the revenge, Trent, is to do a lovely pass that splits the lines, goes straight to Jota's feet, and it goes straight in the back of the net. 10 minutes in against Brighton on Saturday, that'd be absolutely perfect.
But that's not great. That's just spamming crosses, doesn't it?
It's just spamming crosses.
Spamming.
Again, yeah. I'm pretty sure I saw David Beckham spamming crosses in that video as well, so it's interesting. Let's move on to a topic that was discussed in last week's pod. Actually, let's have a quick commercial break.
UEFA Champions League football is streaming on Paramount Plus. 9 months of heart-stopping, hold-your-breath exhilaration is underway with the biggest stars, top teams and craziest fan bases across Europe. Watch every game from the group stage through the knockout rounds as Benzema and Real Madrid defend their title against Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, PSG, Barcelona and more in football's biggest club competition. So don't miss a single sweat-soaked second of regulation time, stoppage time, and extra time, and stream every match of the UEFA Champions League live, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Before we do that, and we're back. Thank you very much to the people the lovely people over at Paramount Plus. You can watch Champions League on there. Let's double back on a topic that was discussed last week between Peter and Mark. Really good segment. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, please do. They ranked all of the signings from the Klopp era and put them into some distinct categories. One of them had Twitter in an absolute shambles where the faceless accounts came out. There was all sorts of madness going on. And it was because Naby Keita was placed in the red category, which means he was a failure. You are a failure. You are a failure. You will never make it at Liverpool. And Peter, I'm going to turn this back over to you because I think what you guys discussed was absolutely fair. The rationales you gave to the people you probably shouldn't have been replying to were fair. I'm going to give the floor. I'm going to give you the floor to speak your lovely words and convince the people that weren't convinced before on why he is a failure as a Liverpool player.
Do you know what? Okay, so when we done this this kind of segment, and I posted it on Twitter, and I was thinking, okay, let me post it on Twitter. You know, if people want to kind of look at it and see it, they can, cool. But I was not expecting this kind of reaction from people. Like, what? Why the hell are people at me so much about, oh, why isn't I being red? This is harsh, this is that, this is... Like, if people were at me about Shimikas, where they were, kind of, they were, I'd have been, okay, cool, that's kind of a more debatable one. He's kind of won a cup for us, cool. But Naby Keita was bought for £52 million, and there's no one that can tell me that he's repaid that worth to our team. He has not. He simply has not. And whilst he might be a good player, he's definitely not the player that we expected. You know what I'm saying? How many transfers do you guys know that you wait a year to sign them? Like, you know what I'm saying? You wait. You comfortably wait a year. You say, okay, this player is so good, we're not going to buy anyone this year. We're going to wait, let him have one more year at RB Leipzig, and then we're going to take him next summer. So, that's even putting pressure on the transfer, and that's kind of saying that, okay, this is our man, we're willing to wait for him, cool. And then what we've seen over the years, it hasn't lived up to that price tag. You know, I was told that he's a hybrid of Pogba and Kante. That's not true. that's just simply not true.
That was the maddest comparison, by the way. What white man came up with that? Like, two black footballers. He's Pogba and Kante. There we go.
He's their witch doctor, man. That's all he is.
But just simply put, like, he hasn't stayed fit for long enough in his whole tenure. Last season was probably the best season he stayed fit. But even last season, I think I would say last season is probably his best season.
It is.
But that's still not enough.
Who did you do an impression of last season, by the way?
Gini Wijnaldum.
There we go.
But it still wasn't enough. The fact that we've had to buy Thiago, we've had to buy other players. The players have come in. It's the indictment on Keita because Keita was meant to be the one guy in that midfield. It would solve our problems and he would make our midfield more progressive. And Keita's not really made our midfield more progressive. We haven't been able to rely on him. And he's part of the reason why we have about 8 or 9 midfielders now. You know what I'm saying? We have Jones, we have Elliot, we have Thiago, we have all these players because we can't rely on his availability. So whilst he's a good player and he's definitely got some talent, he hasn't lived up to his expectations for me anyway.
Can I add to something to this as well? I'm hoping you guys agree with me here. But like, you're right, Peter, he is talented, but he's not that good. Like, honestly, he's just not that good. Like, he's good, he's decent. But
he's not a £50 million player still. Well,
65.
It's inflated, yeah. So we can't say that now. But at the time, yeah, listen, it wasn't a 50 million.
The TLF media group are inflating that to 80. Yeah. We know how the streets work.
And do you know what, Mush? I was looking at a list yesterday. I can't remember who posted it, but it was a list of Pogba, Gundogan, Verratti.
And don't tell me someone put Keita on that list.
No, and Thiago, I'm saying all of them have their injury problems, but you could not tell me that Keita's like talent is equal to any of them.
Way, yeah.
Of course not, man. Of course not.
Thiago's got that thing, and Verratti's kind of like that as well. When you watch them both in warm-ups, you're like, oh, okay.
Even in games, they're the best players, but they just never fit. But Keita's not that, Keita.
I just think, like, Keita Supermax, like the best we've seen of Keita is what he should have been as his average level.
Yeah,
at this club.
That's because he's been injured. Yeah, he hasn't done that enough.
He doesn't even get to Supermax, right? So he's just, we've seen 50% of the 80% player we needed, basically. And it's just been, what do people expect? The thing is, Pete, people are probably angry with you because they're looking at other names on the red list, right? And thinking, oh, why is Keita in there with them?
No, I don't think it's that. I just think Keita has some stupid Twitter groupies for some reason, yeah? And do you know what, yeah? I'm going to take
this as well.
I'm going to take responsibility for starting this because I know.
Yeah, they use the statistics things. Sorry, Mark. The statistics thing's funny as well because they use the per 90 stats. It's like, oh, I'm going to use the per 90 stats for an injury prone player. Okay.
That's a very good.
It's like two per 90s every season, and you're going to use two games as a sample.
You're going to use a 768 minute sample size. Okay, cool.
And this is the other thing. I'm even looking at the comments, guys. I'm looking at someone quote tweeting that. Ratings that amber green red tweet saying you people's hatred of Keita is disgusting. Who wants to hate Keita?
First of all, what does he mean by you people?
Now, people really don't understand, and I don't think they've been listening to Kopen long enough, yeah. But I used to be the Naby Keita head CEO.
Has a player ever got more chances?
Off me, no. Naby Keita got everything from Man. I gave him so much leeway, but you can only give leeway for so long. And he's an amazing player, in my opinion. Like, I don't think he's the level
amazing.
Of...
Amazing.
He's not amazing. He's a good player. He's not the level of the Verratti's... Who else do I want to call? Verratti's, Thiago's. He's not that level. But it may be the level below. So who would I group him with?
I'd group him like maybe like a Basuma type.
Would you?
Put him above Basuma personally.
Would you put him in that like Kovacic category?
No.
Yeah, I think his level is the Kovacic category, but he doesn't show his best.
Yeah,
level.
At his best,
he's Kovacic level.
Average level. That's the way I put it.
So we're saying that his best level is the Kovacic level.
Now, I've seen Kovacic as well, but I've also seen Keita hoops.
Keita 8 is a Kovacic 5. That's what I'm wording.
Yeah, Kovacic 6, 7.
Yeah.
That's so deep.
So what are Keita's best 5 games? Like, best games? So, like...
There was a Crystal Palace one, the Man United one.
The semi-final against City.
Yes. United 5-0, but everyone played good in that United 5-0. Yeah. So I'm not really
Everyone, that United team was the worst United team I've ever seen.
That Leicester cameo. Good.
Leicester cameo in the
we're putting cameos in.
Oh, yeah. We're putting
good though. Yeah,
that cameo was elite. I can't lie.
Guys, if we're doing cameo, then.
This is what the per 90 people are eating, you know. Putting cameos in there.
That is the cameo.
If we're doing cameo, then post. Title win, lockdown cater.
Oh, yeah.
Chelsea as well.
That Chelsea game.
Crazy.
So at the moment, we've got an FA Cup semi-final in there. We've got a game break. We've got a Leicester cameo. And then we've got behind closed doors, end of season fracas.
Oh, at Bournemouth away, the one where you made two of Salah's goals.
Oh, no, we've got Bournemouth in there.
That was a good game.
Yeah,
we're scraping the barrel here, boys.
We really are. It's very far and few between. And I want to quickly recap the list from last week. So the red category, Marco Grujic, Stephen Corker, Camille Gabara, Loris Karius, who's now recently signed for Newcastle, which I thought was absolutely crazy. Alex Meninga, Dominic Solanke. That was the one I didn't agree with, you know. I thought that was an amber.
Why?
I'll get into it.
What did he do
just for the money we made?
But yeah, he
showed promise, man. I like he came on. He had a little bit of something about him.
He scored a defensive goal.
I'm putting him in the amber because I like the cut of his jib. There we go.
but no, I think people are being clouded by the money we recruit for some of these. So yeah, I think that's why. But if you look at tenures, then no. But yeah, carry on.
That's true. Naby Keita, obviously in the red, as we mentioned. Adrian in the red. People got annoyed at that, which
I was so hilarious. Why are people fighting for Adrian? I'm so pissed off at that.
I can't find them, honestly. If you saw the Liverpool Legends team at this weekend, you could do anything and get into that at the moment, so it's ridiculous. Andy Lonergan, Ben Davis. People were complaining about Ben Davis and Ozan Kabak, which, I mean...
What else is Ben Davis?
It hurts me, but... It hurts me to say that Kabak was shit, but he was. In the amber category, in the amber category, Ragnar Klavan, which I agree with.
Much disagreed with. I want to hear Mush's reason for the Klavan one. I don't know if you want to do it now. Or you just want to keep going.
Yeah, go on. You go on. I'll bring up the ones that I might.
Okay, cool.
Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, Jordan Shaqiri, Seth Vandenberg, with the caveat that he's still young and can prove himself. I think he'll be a serviceable Premier League defender at some point. Yeah. Possibly not for Liverpool. It's Kubi Minamino, Kostas Tsimikas, and Marcelo Pialuga. And in the green category, I think this is comprehensively fair. Sadio Mane, Joel Matip, Andy Robertson, Gini Wijnaldum, Mohamed Salah, Virgil van Dijk, Fabinho, Alisson Becker, Harvey Elliott, Thiago Alcantara, Jota, Konate, and Diaz. And obviously,
Mount Rushmore right there, bro.
That's a good list, man. That's a nice little list. So yeah, I agree. I'm pretty fair with all that list, to be fair, apart from the Solanke one. But that's just me.
How many goals do you score for us? One, innit?
Yeah, 1 in 14 or something like that.
Yeah, but think of the memories, Mark. You're not thinking of the memories. I think Ox is very fair in the amber. It's kind of in that same category, but you kind of cut in some slack considering that yours, like, his knee basically exploded on the pitch.
He actually has like 5 or 6 games where it's like
he has memorable moments.
Ox has box office moments.
Man. Yeah, he has moments. Like,
yeah, seriously. Literally, give me the Hollywood moments. Over, you know, this is an MCU film. This isn't an independent art house. This isn't A24. You know,
even
what I mean?
Last season when our forwards are gone to AFCON, he pops up with goals.
Yeah, pops up when he does his thing.
Yeah, so fair play.
But go on, Mush.
Nah, Klavan, I'm putting in green, not because he's been amazing, but bro.
Okay.
4.3 million, yeah?
Yeah.
And the other bit is, all the other ones who were cheap were crap. Do you get what I mean? Some of them were crap. Like, Adrian was free, but he was shit. Like, Klavan actually did nothing wrong. No one really ripped him.
Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong's where we always go wrong as Liverpool fans. That's why James Milner still starts for us.
No.
Can't just say nothing's wrong.
Okay, Marco, I want you to tell me where Klavan did something that was so below the level of Liverpool. The other players who came...
I don't think it's below the level of Liverpool, yeah, but the Liverpool that I would like here is 8 million for Andy Robertson. That's the level. So yeah. If you're comparing 4.2...
But that's not... Okay, but then we're being subjective, right? Because if it's at the level of Andy Robertson, Andy Robertson is like super green. You get what I mean? Like,
If it's like four mil, I want someone that's...
I hear what Mush is saying. Like, Mush is right in terms of, like, it's a good signing, but the calibre of players on that green list, Klavan cannot. He cannot. I'm sorry. He cannot. It's a steady signing. It's not like a great signing. It's just a steady
I think I said on pod, I would put him amber green, like in the
middle.
I put him and Tacky in amber green.
Tacky middle green.
And listen, man. If we had Klavan for 2021 when we had all the centre back injuries, we'd have been all right, you know. We'd have been fine.
I don't know.
And guys, can we talk about how much everyone rates Kostas Tsimikas in our group?
Oh, Peter, you know my views on this, my brother.
What the hell? Since when? Guys are saying that he can start. I don't even want to say it because
give them the content. Say it.
Start for Real Madrid.
Don't say the name, but say
Kostas
it.
Kostas Tsimikas can start for Real Madrid.
Jacob. People don't.
They were saying that he's like one of the best fullbacks. Like, in the what?
They said over Zinchenko.
Should we rattle some other fan bases? Because I know we've got some of our ops listening. Yeah,
that's why I didn't want to say it. But yeah,
guys, listening from our Chelsea hours, from our Touchy Gooners, certain men in the KEF conglomerate think that he's better than Cucurella. Think that he's better than Zinchenko. So. Come and collect your left backs, man, because apparently our backup ones are
better. Come and collect your left backs, you know.
Because
that's where you can bring in the per 90.
But I'd just like to say that I don't think I share those views whatsoever. I'm actually the opposite.
Do not attach any association with this to me whatsoever.
I honestly, do you know what the worst bit is? I've been saying this, I've been tweeting this like once a week since the season started. Everyone says Robertson's playing crap. And everyone ignores that 1 hour later when Tsimikas comes on, he plays worse.
That Palace game was
the look at all of our attacks during the games, yeah. Look at how much I slander Tsimikas in his cameos. He's had two good cameos, yeah, and one good game this whole season.
He's scrapping the Bournemouth. I think you got about like three assists in the Bournemouth game. Scrap that.
Can we like make a solemn vow from now on that when we do analysis of like all Liverpool games from this season, we just omit the Bournemouth game because it.
But do you know what it is? Okay, he won us an FA Cup in terms of his penalties. That's a great moment to have. Cool. He'll never be in red because of that. But to go on to green for me, he hasn't even had a consistent run of like five or six games where he's been our left back. And he's been solid for us.
I disagree with that. Beginning of last season, when Robbo got injured, he had a little run.
Like two or three games, wasn't it? It was literally like two or three games.
I thought it was more than that.
And then Robson came straight back in. The Chelsea game. You know the Chelsea game that Elliot Henderson played centre mid?
Yeah, I think it was.
Robson came straight back in.
We drew that game, innit? We drew. And people were asking for Tsimikas to have started.
Yeah, but Robertson started.
Boys, sorry to interrupt. Breaking. I've just realised, Krish, we need to find some of our KEF members here. A massive oversight in their traffic light system. Boys, you didn't rate Divock Origi in this.
He's not Klopp signing. Roger signing.
Cool.
Divock would be green for Man still.
Listen, when we did, as Tim. Big Patreon subscriber, Sim asked for. Great guy. That went a bit Trump then. I don't know why. Great guy. we will do the Brendan Rodgers rating system at some point when we do. Well, yeah, what? We'll do that on the Brendan Rodgers part two.
Who's more of a legend? Divock Origi or Gini Wijnaldum?
Divock Origi, man. Boxer.
Yeah, it has to be.
You guys, Gini was... You guys are rating playing 38 games out of 38 games.
I'm about the moments, man. I'm about the moments, baby.
Give me the moments,
of a club team running the hard yards of just.
Fuck the hard yards. Give me a goal.
This is getting close to home, isn't it? This is me.
Nah, you guys are bad. They're close, but.
We were talking about AC Milan earlier. Apparently, you know, Ginny's not sending in properly. Not Ginny, Origi's not sending in properly. Bring him home, man. We're bringing him home. You know what I mean? Care. We're bringing him home. We do care.
Cut price, don't care about I'll take him, by the way.
Bro, I'll take him back on loan. You know what I mean? 24 month loan. We'll take him back.
I think out of any of those green, I think they're more to the ones that are maybe not armor, but like they're the ones that are not as like green, you know what I'm saying? But.
Everyone in that green category is super without prejudice, a fantastic signing. It's you can't even question it. Who would you actually say the best sign of the bunch is? Because
Salah and Van Dijk. Because
Salah. No. Let's look.
It's Virgil
Mane as well. Let's put those three up there. Salah, Mane, Van Dijk.
Salah, man.
Alisson for me.
Alisson,
I can see that. I can see
why. But... to be honest, there's even an argument for Robbo in it at 8
million. No, there is not.
We get it, man. You found something nice, yellow sticker at Morris.
Listen, man.
You know those yellow stickers, yeah? That might be on a piece of steak that goes out of steak.
You found a maple pecan flipping pastry at yellow sticker. Let's not celebrate that too much.
It's going to be
For me, it's Virgil only because look, Mane, Salah, it was all fun and games until Virgil came, man. We were getting goals. It was, you know, everyone liked watching us. And people started to hate us when Virgil came, man, because that's when we became business, man.
Yeah. And seeing a defender kind of go for a Ballon d'Or, that's something I've never seen in my lifetime in terms of a Liverpool defender either. So that's crazy. But my selling argument is that we've bought the greatest goal scorer in modern history, Liverpool modern history. Like, we bought the best player since Steven Gerrard. Like, that's different.
Luis Suarez is better than him, bro.
LFC tenure, man. LFC tenure.
I don't care about racist there still.
So, yeah.
Yeah, this is
do all this. You can do the BLM, but you know it's true.
Hey,
bro, it's always BLM.
Wow.
Always BLM.
Hey, Mush, strike one.
Listen, man, I like to say that I stand with my black brothers and they're fighting against everything. So I don't bring in with
I would like to say that I never have. Yeah? I'd like to say that when I'm on this one.
Man said I'm doubling down, you know.
Listen, you see where this new government's headed. I know where I've got to go.
Listen, man.
Chris, make the point for Alisson. I want to hear the Alisson point.
Yeah, Alisson.
I saw an Alisson comp last week, and you know how I feel about Alisson. I think he's the best goalkeeper in the world by far. It's just a transformational effect he's had on everything. You can see how many goals he saves per season. I think something last season it was something crazy like 14 goals or something like that. And he's the difference between us winning and losing matches in like really crucial periods. He's just so good at what he does, like the little things. And when you watch other teams and see their goalkeepers,
yeah,
you kind of compare him. And I think I made the point to you guys like a few weeks ago. It's like, we're so lucky to not even have like a fantastic goalkeeper, but just a fantastic footballer in general. He's that good. And like, he's probably the best goalkeeper I've seen since like prime, like, you know, 2012 Neuer.
And this high line, yeah? If we didn't have Alisson in goal, bro.
Well, even if we had like someone like Mendy in goal, yeah, we would be shitting ourselves, fam.
Bro, the goals we'd be conceding left, right, centre. God damn.
Nah, shout out Alisson. Do you know what, Chris? I can see. I can't even dispute that.
Yeah.
Amazing. Like, amazing keeper because the fundamentals are just crazy, man. I don't think Alisson ever does the whole pats it into trouble, doesn't catch something he shouldn't catch. Like, he just...
Do you know what's mad with Alisson, yeah? And I think I remember saying this maybe like 3 months ago, innit? There's times when he just catches the ball, yeah? And it looks like the most simple thing ever, but the amount of pressure it relieves... The yeah. way he does it, like, he makes it look so easy.
Hey, listen, man, after seeing that YouTube goalkeeper at the weekend, I'm not taking any goalkeepers for granted at the moment. Dude. Jesus Christ. say he won't be playing for Touchline 11 soon. That's for sure.
Noah Beck might be better than Genie, you know. He might need to hold that.
Bro, what is this agenda? I saw that Philly comp though. Philly from right to the mid. That Philly comp was moving me. That Philly comp was moving me a lot more than that Sangare comp, boy. A lot more.
Listen, man, the Chunks comp was moving more than the Sangare compilation, boy. I was gonna say that one for free. That Sangare compilation was trash. Let's move on to Liverpool's October and the outlook. There's a shit ton of games. So, we play Brighton on Saturday. So, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games in October. Oh, what?
No. We're going to have to see Arthur by force.
I told you. He's coming.
Listen, man.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Arthur's got to accelerate that diet plan that he's going through, man.
Listen, man, they're going to have to get Arthur on the fat burners, all sorts of things, you know what I mean? Get him in the sweatsuit. Jesus. And we've got two games postponed that need to be plugged in at some point, so God knows when they're going to play. They'll be next December at this rate. It's 10 games. We're getting a lot of people back from injury. A lot of people have actually been on I hate soccer football. I've made that no secret. I don't even watch it. I was forced to watch some of England, Italy at the pub on Friday and I almost like gagged. That's how much I hate it. But a lot of our players have been in pretty good form and the ones you want to be in good form. Obviously, Salah scores a few for Egypt. Jota bags a goal for Portugal. Virgil scores last night for the Netherlands. And Darwin Nunez scored earlier on today for Uruguay. So it's been a nice kind of reset moment for a lot of them to kind of go away, clear their heads a little bit, get some minutes under their belt, come back and hopefully replicate that same form. And the big news that obviously Ibrahima Konate is going to be back in training this week. It's more recovery period for guys like Thiago, who didn't go away on international duty. Henderson played a very odd 10 minutes from what I was told yesterday, and it looked awful.
It was so shit when he came back. He was crap. Oh,
I still can't believe that guy went on international duty. The negligence there from every single person involved is utterly diabolical. If you're an insurer watching that, you're thinking, I'm putting your premiums up at least by 20%. So... Yeah, God knows what's going on with the ligaments. But with all like the nice, you know, we've had that break. It's been good for us as fans. I generally like to think it's been good for them as players, as we saw against Ajax. A bit more of a fully functioning team, what it can do. There were some deficiencies, some bozo moments, but ultimately they overcame it and they won the game. Do you think with a little bit of renewed energy, a little bit of pump underneath them, they can attack this daunting looking October with some certainty? Because there are some fairly tough pictures in there as well.
I think the main thing, bro, is firstly the pathetic approach of it can't get any worse than what we saw before international break. That's the honest and first truth. And then the next part is, bro, like you said, 10 games in a month. Honestly, if we have a good October, everything that went before will be forgotten. Like this month can flip our whole season. We can go back to, I bet you, if we have a good month, 10 games, let's say we win 8, lose 1, draw 1 or something.
Yeah.
By the end of this month, people will be saying, after the World Cup, Liverpool are top 3 favourites to win the Champions League or something like that. Like, mentality and momentum are things that are really easy to swing in your favour with 2 or 3 good results. And especially when you're winning, and we felt that a lot the last few years when we were good, you want to see Liverpool play all the time. Do you get what I mean? And there's small fixes, man. Like, you've got a game every 3 days. Let's start on small things, Brexit things, like flipping. Let's start outrunning the opposition again. Let's start creating chances and chances and chances again. These players have scored an international duty. Let's make them enjoy. Make Darwin think, yo, I want to score my first few goals for Liverpool. I want my first away goal. I want my first hat trick. Like, there's so many small ticks and milestones you can hit in this month that can completely flip your mentality before this World Cup, I think.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. That point about going on a good run, yeah, that can completely change our I don't think the table as well. The table, like we've seen, even like Man United, like they had a horrendous start and then they've gone on a good run and they've climbed up the table. You know what I'm saying? So there's no reason why we can't do the same. In terms of what I would like to see, I would personally like to see something different from this team. Obviously, like playing at 4-3-3 and like going back to basics is also quite important, but if we could change, like maybe play a 4-2-3-1 at times when maybe we haven't got enough like three midfielders enough to play, or we can go to like a 4-4-2 at times, I would love to see that. You know what I'm saying? If we can go to like a 4-2-3-1 and maybe like Fabinho and Thiago holding, or Fabinho and Henderson holding, and like Firmino on a 10 or Cavalier on a 10, then I would love to see it. Just something different, another weapon to add to our bowl, and to incorporate more attackers into the side as well. Would be nice, and just yeah, different systems. So like, we're not constantly just relying on this one system, and the system is so reliant on players like Thiago and Keita staying fit when we know that we can't. You know what I'm saying? So maybe another system where we don't have to rely on so many midfielders to be fit would be nice. So yeah, a little bit of a change. And we've had some time off, so hopefully they've been working on just some little tweaks here and there. So yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, I'm completely with you guys. And one thing that I always think about Liverpool is we tend to play a lot better when we have a hard run of games, when we have that rhythm and that consistency. The only thing, so I'm definitely with Mush about the whole we can't play any worse than this, and that's exactly what I was on, I guess, the top four run when we end up getting top four, and I was chatting shit about we're definitely going to make it, because I couldn't see us getting any worse than losing 6 games in a row. I personally think with Thiago back in, it changes a lot. I want to see Arthur bad, if he's anything like half the player that we imagine he could be, that would help significantly. If he's able to stay fit in this, I guess, do the Thiago role to a decent enough standard, then that would be great. I also want to see a little bit of a change, like Peter was saying, in terms of maybe a 4-2-3-1. I know we've been doing that, I guess, out of possession where Thiago slots next to Fabinho, and you have Elliot kind of roaming a little bit more. So in possession, where you have Elliot roaming a little bit more. But I would like to see a structural change as opposed to just changes within a certain formation, because Klopp seems too wedded to this 4-3-3, and it seems so easy to figure out One thing I do want to see as well is a bit quicker passing. So, like, one of our major attacking outlets was, before anyway, was Salah getting isolated against his fullback. It'll be a big switch from Van Dijk straight to Salah's feet. Salah's isolated against his fullback and he's able to put in some work, and we'll always have Trent overlapping in that space that would offer an option as well, take away a defender or something like that. So I want to see that. I want to see Trent overlapping again, because this whole sitting in the midfield area is decent. Like, he's a good enough creative player to do that, but I want to see him overlapping because it changes the dynamic on that right-hand side when he's always sitting in, because it's one less run that you need to mark, and stationary players are way easier to mark than mobile players. So,
yeah, can I ask you guys a question? And Chris, I guess I'd probably, because you look at underlying kind of traits before we sign a player, right? Like, you're normally good at that. In terms of where I see the biggest incremental difference we can make in this team, yeah, for me it's Darwin, right? The most untapped like possibility there is Darwin. Everyone else, we kind of know what we can get out of them. What ways do you think we can play in terms of formation and style that you think sees a completely revitalized and kind of effective Liverpool with Darwin in the team?
Play how you did last season with Jota as the number nine, but you just kind of replace it like for like with Nunez. So you don't do what you've been doing with the system in previous weeks where you've got Salah kind of outwired. You kind of have a lot of more one-two movement between him and Nunez, because they link up quite well. It's one of the things that worked really well for him at Benfica when he was playing with... Oh, shit, I can't remember what that guy's name is.
Rafa Silva.
That's the one, Rafa Silva. So their intricacies on that right-hand side that paired really well. So they want to replicate something like that. And again, you can form a fairly decent triangle there with Trent as well. So it enables them too. So you've at least got a little bit of a pressure valve there as well. So I think that's the one thing you can really do to kind of baby him. But again, it's just being more intricate and more precise with how you approach your build-up play. So you want to get more clear and obvious opportunities where you can kind of put in a decent ball or work it into the areas where you know...
Just launch that in, Blair. What the fuck?
Bro, you don't mean the Robertson from 54 yards out arced cross?
Trent launching that, he's like bloody like fire or something like that. Like, yeah. What are you doing?
Trent has been so lazy with it. Like, he's not even trying to...
That guy has been holding that L1 triangle like
a big man and just launching balls.
Do you know what annoyed me though? I think, was it the RB Leipzig game in pre-season where Trent Salah looked very, very sharp linking up, and that whole right side was working extremely well and created the Nunez goals. I think they just need to revert to that. Obviously the Nunez red card like takes out a lot of rhythm. His confidence is probably so knocked. His comments on disabled on Instagram and shit like that. So I know he's definitely seen a lot of the noises, probably rattled, and it's a lot of pressure to put.
Resiliencia, brother.
Yeah, but resilient stuff. Show me some of that. Show me some of that. I need to see it live or in the flesh. I need you to be able to shoulder that burden, because if you do come through this period and you're able to score the goals that we need, you're going to be a miles better of a player, and you're going to be able to sharp some of those haters, innit? So.
How do you think we maximise the left side, guys, with that Diaz and Robertson not being quite in sync, even though Diaz has been playing well as an individual?
I think it's...
Thiago helps that. Thiago helps that a lot. And also, Robertson at some point has to play himself back into form, you know what I'm saying? Or it becomes a problem, you know what I'm saying? It might just have to... Because he hasn't been... He's been good and bad. So I think he ended last season quite well. And he started this season quite bad. And he started last season quite bad. So at some point, he's going to have to play himself into form. And he's going to have to do a lot better. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, people are going to have to look for other solutions. People are going to have to take his place. So
Weekly Tsimikas. Yeah, don't kill me, bro.
Yeah, you mean best in the world because Tsimikas is going to have to come.
But, and also... Jota can also play on that left wing as well. So obviously Diaz doesn't have to play every single game, but hopefully Thiago would help that. And you know what I'm saying? He's more of a sink. He's more of a controller and he can find Diaz. So that should help that a bit. And I think this October, guys, we're going to find out a lot. This October.
Yeah, we're going to see it.
I think at the end of this October, we come to a conclusion on Darwin Nunez, like fully, like, okay, you know what I'm saying? This is the man for us. or we're going to have to maybe play with Jota, which I think he will be the man for us. But this October, this run of games, I think we'll fully come to a conclusion on Darwin Núñez.
The thing is, Pete, you're right, because essentially Klopp needs to just look at him and tell him that you have a chance to make history at this club every 72 hours. Literally every 72 hours, you can add to the history of this club if you believe you're good enough. That's all you need to tell him.
Yeah. For sure.
So what you say, what you're saying is, he needs to look at Darwin and say, we all have the same 24 hours.
Word to Molly May and you may. That's what we're saying.
And again, this October, it's going to be crucial for Arthur as well. We're going to realize, we're going to see if Arthur's
getting Arthur's creasing me, bro. Arthur, he ain't ready. I know he's not ready.
I know he's not ready as well. He's panicking.
Trying to play in centre mid. That's what it is, bro.
He's panicking, bro. This dieting and this whatever.
I can't even lie to you. Getting fit, yeah.
It's a serious battle, bro. It's a serious.
Bro, it is a battle. Do you know what it is? As soon as you drop off a little bit, like,
bro,
it takes so much battle to get back to it. And football fitness isn't the same as like normal fitness.
It is completely different.
You could be bare fit normally, but when you get onto a pitch and someone's running at you like 100%, you're going to have to chase them back and you're thinking, no, can I lay
carry? Intense sprints back and forth. There's even
like the mental aspect of it, like in terms of you see someone making a run and you want to be a bit lazy, so you think, oh yeah, the ball's not going to go to him, but you know you should. If you take that little 1 second to debate that in your mind, it's already gone. Especially at the top level, isn't it? That 1 second means you're a little bit behind your man. If they get the ball, they're probably through on goal. So you just need to make your decisions quickly and just trust your body that that's what it's going to be. And sometimes play through the barrier, isn't it? Sometimes we need a little desire and passion, and that's where the whole outrunning your opposition comes into it, and those statistics being extremely, well, boding extremely well for teams that are playing well. When you're able to put in that passion and put in those extra yards, it always helps.
I think the big reveal is going to be that I'm looking at the fixtures, that Arsenal away on 9th October is going to be a tough one. I think that's where you're coming up against a team who are, you know, tails up high, ready to go. And my worry is all the areas where we've been quite weak, they're looking quite strong, right? They're running hard, passing smooth. Belief, the atmosphere at the Emirates is great.
They're good structure. They're fantastic structurally, and we are awful structurally at the moment. So that's the one where it's just like, oof. But we have got better players than them, and obviously on our day we should be better than them. But they're looking fantastic structurally, and we're not.
I think I've always said this. Well, I've said this to a couple people in passing, like past 3 weeks. I'm scared of that game still, and it's because I'm always scared of teams that are able to play through the press. And right now they look like they do it with ease. And our press is not looking that good at the moment. So if
what press? That could be the
Diaz
question.
It's just Diaz running and then no one in behind. Just Diaz, just pure. Yeah, boy.
We'll see,
that
man.
Coordinated press, boy. I don't know where that's been this whole season.
We also got to talk about, why the fuck does Diaz just turn up when we get someone sent off or when we go behind?
He's got that dog.
Diaz can't play without dog. That's the worst thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Diaz kills me. It's like for 30 minutes, he'll be like the best player on the pitch, but like the other 60, like he's got bad bunny, just playing for his head throughout the entire game, man. It's like, oh, bro, come on. They switch on all the time. But it's going to be an interesting month. Just looking at the Núñez stats now, by the way. He's averaging 8 shots a game and he's only played 100 something minutes. So
like, he's going to get goals.
It's the thing, man. So I don't know why people are getting worried in that.
Just get them, man. He's seen, look, Haaland's become like God these last 10 weeks because of this. Just score. You don't even need to. Haaland's getting 7 touches a game, bro. And he's becoming like, you know.
It's just Haaland's a different source, isn't it? Like,
that one.
It really might be we all have the same 24 hours, you know, at that point.
Haaland's like them Insta baddies. Like, fair enough. Yeah, I'm just still working at a local.
What
do you mean by that, brother? Go on, do you want to elaborate?
I'm saying that we're working at a local level. We're trying to find, you know what I'm saying, the 500 followers, etc.
Pierre's talking about 350 likes and then Haaland's on 23,000. You just got to know levels.
Man's firing off at DM like, you have a good day, yeah?
And Gems,
never going to happen.
There's gems to be made. But
yeah, Jürgen, diamonds are made under pressure, and Liverpool will be under pressure in October with the fixture pile up, as we saw there. What a promo that was, ever the consummate professional I am. And of course, for all of your content needs, the Clapham Breakfast Patreon page is the only place to be. From £3 a month, head over to www.patreon.com/Clapham Breakfast and subscribe today. This has been a really good pod. I've had a lot of fun. It's been a fun Tuesday evening with some absolutely fantastic fellas to talk about all things Liverpool Football Club. I've been your host, Chris, and I've been joined by Mark, Peter and Mush. Let us know what you thought. Leave us a lovely review on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. We will be with you, lovely Patreon subscribers, on Friday and Saturday for the weekend preview and the instant post-match reaction show. But if you are not subscribing, oh, I've just been informed of some lovely breaking news that we'll be doing some Twitter spaces throughout the week as well. The man who runs these is in the chat with me right now. So, Mush, what you got planned for us, man?
Nah, bro. I think everyone's kind of been missing it, man. We've kind of all avoided talking about the football in Liverpool. So we had a great space last time, but it was more of an agony aunt, like let go of your sorrows session last time. But we had some great stuff from a lot of our regular listeners. I know that we got a lot more interaction from a few different people as well. So yeah, maybe at least once or twice a week, we'll all be catching up. So you guys who are listening in, make sure you're sharing your thoughts constantly. And we're always open to listen in. It's not just one or two voices of the pod members. It's literally everyone gets an equal time to talk about the club that we all love, man. So make sure you join us throughout the month.
That's what you come to expect from the greatest Liverpool podcast on the internet. You know, open inclusion, fantastic content, both free and premium. What do you want, man? So that is all from us this week. We'll catch you next week. When we'll hopefully be discussing another 3 points for Liverpool. And I think we'll be reviewing a Champions League victory as well, hopefully as well. So touch wood that all goes well. But until then, we'll see you soon.
Peace.
Sports Social Podcast Network.